Before we turn to God's Word this evening, I invite you to take your blue Psalter hymnal and open it with me to page 55 in the back, Lord's Day 43, question answer 112. That's page 55, Lord's Day 43. I'll ask this question and we can respond together with the answer. What is God's will for us in the ninth commandment?
God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are devices the devil himself uses, and they would call down on me God's intense anger. I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it, and I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name.
And now I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Our text this evening is verse 25, but I'll be reading verses 17 through 5, verse 2, to give us the context for our passage. Before we turn our attention to God's Word this evening, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up Your Word together, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in the saints, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking His word to us. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with everyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, in this letter to the Ephesians written by Paul, up to this point of the letter, Paul has been unpacking and explaining all of the truths of salvation to these Ephesian Christians. He's been telling them who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for their salvation. And then at the beginning of chapter 4, Paul makes a transition. He turns a corner from telling them who Jesus is and what Jesus has done to then explaining to them what that means for their life. What that practically means for their day-to-day living. How to live in light of that salvation. One commentator that I read explains it like this: the movement of thought is from the lofty heights of learning Christ and the new creation to the nitty-gritty of Christian behavior. Telling the truth. Controlling our anger. Honesty at work. Kindness in speech. Forgiveness, love, sexual control. Here Paul is laying out the nitty-gritty of the Christian life, what it means for us as we live a life that is worthy of our calling, or as we saw at the beginning of chapter 5, what it means for us to walk in love, just as Christ has loved us. That's the theme for this entire section. Everything that Paul is telling us is an explanation of what it means to walk in love as Christ has loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant sacrifice to God. Paul's explaining the practices that need to characterize our lives as believers. And as he does this, here at the end of this letter, he ends up covering the second table of the law, the second half of the Ten Commandments, Commandment 5 through 10. Do not use falsehood, but speak the truth, is our passage this evening, and that's the ninth commandment. Don't give false testimony against your neighbor. But it doesn't end there. In your anger, do not sin. The sixth commandment, the root of anger, or the root of murder, is anger. Let the thief no longer steal. That's the eighth commandment. You look at the beginning of chapter 5, and it's sexual immorality. That's the seventh commandment. No greedy person will inherit the kingdom. That's the tenth. You shall not covet. And then you jump over to chapter 6, and it's children, obey your parents. That's the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. So as Paul is explaining what it means for us to live out who we are in Jesus Christ, he's covering the Ten Commandments, telling us how we should live. How to live out that salvation that's ours in Christ. Now this evening, the theme for our message as we look at verse 25 specifically is that since we are members one of another, since we are part of the body of Christ, we put away falsehood and we speak the truth. Our walk in love, as Christ loved us, is expressed in the words that we say. Now, in each of these commandments in Paul's letter, he does three things. He first of all gives us the negative side of the command, the don't do this part of the command. And so this evening it's don't lie. Put away that falsehood. Secondly, Paul gives us the positive side of the command, the do this part, which is speak the truth. Speak truthfully to your neighbors. And then the third thing that Paul does is explain the reason why, the motivation behind these commands. And tonight we'll see how the motivation for this, the reason for our truthful speech, is because we are part of the body of Christ. We are members one of another. And so first, this evening we'll be looking at, therefore, having put away falsehood. Basically what Paul is saying there is do not lie. That's the first thing to put off. Now, as we're looking at Scripture, and this goes for whenever we're looking at Scripture, as you're looking at verse 25, the first word that you see there is therefore. Now, whenever we see that word, we need to ask ourselves a very important question. And that question is, what is it there for? Because whenever we see therefore, and it's at the beginning of chapter 5 as well, it's typically Paul summarizing everything that he has just said and bringing it to a nice and tidy conclusion or a practical application. And in this case, Paul has just spent this letter explaining who Christ is and what that means for our salvation. And he's saying, in light of all of this, therefore, having put off falsehood, lying, you now speak truthfully to your neighbor. Because of what Christ has done for you, because he has saved you, because in love he calls you his own, you now are called to express that truth to those around you. Having put away, that's the one word translated into three words in English. Having put away, it's the same word that's used in verse 22 for putting off the old self. The believer has put off, has shed the old self. And that's not something that we do in and of ourselves or by our own strength. That old self has been crucified with Jesus Christ. And what Paul uses here is a string of commands talking to us about putting off the old self. And he's covering both sides of the commands, both the negative and the positive. And here he's saying, having put away falsehood. As if that's already happened. And in a sense it has, because it has been crucified with Christ. That old self, that old falsehood, the lying that once characterized my life outside of Christ, has been nailed to the cross. It's done, it's dealt with. But that doesn't mean that that battle against sin and that temptation to tell those lies or to gossip or to slander are still going to be attacking me. But here Paul is saying it in the past tense, having put off, as if you've already done it. So now that you've put that off, you have room then to speak the truth. You're putting off all falsehoods which characterized your old self with its harmful and deceitful ways. And because you've put it off, you are now able to speak the truth in love. In his book, Respectable Sins, Pastor Jerry Bridges addresses the subtle sins in our lives that we often overlook or just take for granted. He explains, in the months that I've been working on this book, I have often been asked in social settings, what are you working on now? When I mention the respectable or acceptable sins we tolerate, someone will always roll their eyes and say, oh, you mean like gossip. Apparently, this is the first of the Christian sins that come to mind. So it must be quite prevalent among us and is something we continue to put up with or tolerate in our lives. But as we see this evening, gossiping isn't the only way that we sin with our speech or the only falsehood that we speak. We saw it a moment ago in the catechism. Slander, critical speech, insult, sarcasm, ridicule, breaking down our neighbor. Jerry Bridges explains, any speech that tears down another person, either someone we're talking about or someone we're talking to, is sinful speech, is the falsehood that Paul is addressing here. That's what Paul is talking about, this sinful speech. This is what we are called to be putting off. In verse 25, we're commanded to put off that falsehood, to put away the falsehood, the lies. That's what your old life, your old self outside of Christ looked like. That's not who you are anymore. Do not lie. You know it's wrong. You know that that's not quite how the situation went. But you retold the story to make yourself seem like the hero and everyone else seem like the fool. This falsehood in our speech takes on many forms. One of the forms that this falsehood takes is belittling or gossiping or tearing people down. In those moments, ask yourself, is what I'm about to say going to tear down or build up the person I'm talking about? Because if you glance down to verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. No corrupting talk. The Greek word there is the same word that's used to describe rotting flesh, rotten meat, or rotting fruit. And it's saying that's the corrupting words, that the rotten words that come out of your mouth when you're tearing down and breaking down people. Don't let that rotten, unwholesome, corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Because the bigger picture here in Ephesians is that Paul is explaining to them that this is how the body of Christ is built. It's built on the truth of Jesus Christ. And the way that this body of Christ grows is by speaking the truth in love to one another. So that's the positive. That's how the body of Christ grows and matures. But the opposite is also true. When you've got this rotten speech that tears others down, it's destroying and breaking down the body that's built on the truth. Notice that it's an absolute statement. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. There's no room for the occasional white lie or a little gossiping. It's an absolute statement. Let no corrupting talk whatsoever come out of your mouth. And we can add to what Paul is saying here with the words of Jesus Christ, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if this corrupting talk that breaks down other people is coming out of your mouth, the source of it is that corrupting, rotten heart. Another falsehood that we're told to put away is that of gossip. Gossip is lying. It's a sin against God. Gossip is spreading unfavorable information about someone else, even if that information is true. Is it building them up or breaking them down? Does it need to be said? Would I say this if they were standing right there? We gossip when we can't keep anything to ourselves. Even when it should be kept quiet, it should be kept secret. We gossip when we pass on that rumor that we're not sure if it's completely true, but it's just so interesting and juicy that we can't help but spread the news. Did you know? Have you heard? Just between you and me, I mean this in the best possible way, but you have heard what so-and-so did. Once again, in those moments, ask yourself, is what I'm about to say protecting this person's name? Is it advancing their reputation? Or is it tearing them down? Am I saying this because I love the truth and I love this person? We are careful about the words that come out of our mouth because they reflect the reality of who we are in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Paul's explaining what building up the body of Christ looks like in our passage this evening, what the unity of the body of Christ looks like, and this falsehood, this gossiping, this slandering breaks apart that unity. When we gossip, we're tearing down the other person in order to promote ourselves. So instead of one body and all of its parts working together in unity, you have the self-promoting individual at the expense of others, and the result is that the body is destroyed and it's broken down. It's being torn apart. Instead of bearing with one another in love, putting up with one another in love, like Paul has told us earlier in this letter, we're tearing apart one another. Our walk in love, as Christ loved us, is expressed in the words that we say. In verse 31, we're told to get rid of all bitterness. All slander must be put away from you. There's that put away. Just like we're putting off the old self, we put away falsehood. Now we're putting away slander. Slander is another form of falsehood or sinful speech. It damages a person's reputation by misrepresenting the truth. It's not passing judgment based on the truths or the facts. Or it's assuming the worst possible motives behind their actions. Slander involves exaggerating or blowing things out of proportion. All of these are different dynamics or facets of lying. It's not speaking the truth instead of and building each other up, but rather we're tearing each other down. Now remember, keep in mind, that just because we might think that the occasional white lie or gossiping just a little bit is okay, that's not the way that God thinks. And it's His ultimate standard here that confronts us in our sin and shines a light into the dark corners of my heart where I like to hide those sins. Zechariah 8 tells us to speak the truth to each other. Proverbs 12 tells us that the Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in men who are truthful. Colossians 3, another letter written by Paul, tells us, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its Creator." And what that means is that in Christ, you are no longer a liar. That doesn't define you. It did before when you were outside of Christ. When your life was defined by sin, you were a slave to sin and your father was the father of lies, the devil himself. But now Christ, because of His life, death, and resurrection, has destroyed that slavery to sin. We no longer are enslaved to our sin, but rather Christ is our master and we are clothed with Him, the one who is the truth. And we reflect that reality in the words that we say. Now remember, Paul first puts these commands in the negative, the do not do this, do not lie. Put off those falsehoods. And secondly, Paul explains the positive, how we need to then speak the truth. Secondly, this evening, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Basically, speaking the truth in love. Paul doesn't just leave us with the negative command of do not lie. He also goes on to tell us to speak the truth. And that's the command here. That's the imperative, to speak the truth. Now, what does Paul mean exactly when he's talking about truth? What is the truth that Paul is referring to? Is he referring to speaking the truth or any truth? Or is he speaking about the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel truths? Because throughout this letter, Paul refers to both speaking the truth and also the gospel truth, Jesus as the truth. If you have your Bibles open, you can look back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And that's the first time that Paul mentions truth. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So you heard the word of truth, and that word of truth is the gospel. So there Paul is talking about the gospel truths. Next, you have Ephesians 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love. So here we are being told to speak the truth, what was true. And there he goes on to explain how we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. So there you have Christ as the head. We are the body. We're speaking the truth in love. And that is a way of growing and maturing us in Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 21. Glancing down. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. So you heard about Jesus, which is the gospel truth, and you were taught in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So here you're starting to see this interconnected relationship between the gospel truth and Jesus, who is the truth, and what that means for our lives as we speak the truth. And that brings us to our passage. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth. Because you have heard and believe the gospel truth about Jesus, who is the truth, you live and speak truthfully. This is who you are. You have put on Christ, who is the truth, and your words and the truths that you speak reflect who you are. You're not wearing the lies of Satan anymore, but you are rather clothed with the truth and the righteousness of Christ. Paul is making this really important connection here between what we believe and what we say, how we live. That's the gospel and the implications of the gospel. Now, it goes even further here. In verse 25, when Paul is telling us, let each one of you speak the truth, Paul is actually quoting from Zechariah 8, verse 16. Speak the truth to one another is what Zechariah 8, verse 16 says. And now, this adds some weight from the Old Testament, but there's an even bigger reason for this connection. The connection between Zechariah 8 and Ephesians 4. In Zechariah 8, the first command that God's people are given, so they just were brought back from exile, they had been kicked out of the land because of their sin, and now God is bringing them back into the land, bringing them out of exile, back into the land. They're in Jerusalem, which is described as the city of truth. So they're now living in the city of truth, God's people, fresh start, new community, and the first command that he gives them is speak the truth. And now, Paul, in Ephesians 4, verse 25, is picking up on this exhortation, this command. He's addressing this new community of Christian believers, the church, this new self who is created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. And the first command that is given to them is to speak the truth, to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Because that's how this church grows. We saw it in verse 15. Growing up into Him, in every way, into Him who is the head, into Jesus Christ. And that's the context of speaking the truth in love, verses 13 through 15. It's in the context of growing and maturing. You're no longer an infant tossed back and forth by every new wave of doctrine, but rather you are growing and you are maturing in Jesus Christ. And the way that this happens is by speaking the truth in love. As the body is being built up, as every part is working properly together. And so we're seeing that the body of Christ grows and matures as we speak the truth in love, speak truthfully to our neighbors, as we say only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, verse 29. So not only are we told not to lie, commanded not to lie, put off those falsehoods, we're also commanded to speak the truth in a way that builds up others according to their needs, in a way that benefits or blesses those who listen. Because if it isn't grace to others, if it isn't benefiting others, then it's not worth saying. Instead, say only what builds others up according to their needs, so that it may be grace, it may be a benefit to those who listen, as we see in verse 9. That it may give grace to those who hear. So once again, we ask ourselves, is what I'm about to say going to leave this person built up and encouraged? Is it going to give grace to them? Is it going to encourage them? Is it going to leave them in a better place? Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Now remember, Paul tells us the negative, don't do this. Then he tells us the positive, do this. And then third and finally, he tells us why. And that's our third and our final point this evening. Why? For we are members one of another. Because we are one body, the body of Christ. Now, if I'm honest with you this evening, God's word hits us hard with these truths. This whole week I've been really alert and aware of what I've said and the conversations that I have. And you're probably sitting here this evening with your head hanging down right along with me because it's so hard to talk about speech, speaking the truth in love without also realizing that I haven't. We think about all the examples just from this past week, maybe even from today, of the times when we've broken this, when we've messed this one up. All the times that I've lied or broken down friendships in the things that I've said, or my neighbors or my family. And what we need to realize in this moment is, yes, we in fact are sinners. We're all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Us included. We aren't perfect. As it turns out, we desperately need Jesus Christ, who is the perfect truth. And that's when what Paul is saying here hits home. He's telling these believers, he's telling you this evening, that you have Christ. That you are the body of Christ. He's not saying, well, if you tell the truth enough, someday you might be part of the body of Christ if you earn it. No, he's saying, you already are. You have already been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Now live like it. You have been declared a son and daughter of God because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Now live like the son and daughter of God that you are by speaking the truth, because God is truth. The exhortation to tell the truth is supported by the fact that we, our members, one of another, part of this body of Christ, this is who we are. And that's why we put away falsehood. That's why we speak the truth. Because this is who we are in Jesus Christ. The foundation of our obedience is the salvation that is ours in Christ. Yesterday I had an opportunity to visit briefly with a man who said that he was not a Christian, he was not a believer. And he told me that he hoped to be someday. But then he was very intent on emphasizing how we should live and the guilt that we should feel. And you know how after you have a conversation with someone, you think about what you should have said or the question you should have asked? Well, after that conversation, I was thinking about how I should have asked him, what is your motivation for obeying? You're not a Christian. You're not a believer. So what does it matter? Why do you obey? Why do you care? Because whatever the answer would have been, it's worked as trying to earn a salvation. What's the motivation for our obedience? Is it because of what other people think? Or is it because if I'm good enough, God might save me? Because those two answers are not biblical at all. Here we see the motivation for what God calls us to do is grounded in who we already are in Jesus Christ. We are clothed in His righteousness. And we reflect that by speaking the truth. Our walk in love, as Christ loved us, is expressed in the words that we say. After Israel had been exiled because of her sins, she's coming back. I'm talking about Zechariah 8 here. And it's as if God is explaining to them once again, this is what it means to live as my people, to live in the truth. Because literally, they were living in the city called truth, Jerusalem, speaking the truth to one another because I am truth, God is telling them. And now you have Paul pulling in Zechariah into this passage and telling us Christians, this is what it looks like to live a new life in Christ. This is what it looks like to live as God's people, to live as the ones who are in the truth, speaking the truth, because you are the body of Christ who is the truth. We have sinned. That's obvious. And those sins have been poured out onto Jesus Christ. They have been nailed to the cross, they have been forgiven, and now we are being told to live in light of that salvation, to speak the truth, because you are in Christ who is the truth. And this is how that body of Christ grows and matures and is built. Our conversations as those who are in Christ, the truth should be wholesome and beneficial so that it edifies and builds others up, just like we have been edified and built up by Jesus Christ. God calls us to this holy, truth-filled lifestyle, this putting off of the old self and the putting on of the new self because of who we already are in Christ. You are a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now live a life worthy of your calling by not lying or slandering or having any falsehood, but rather by speaking the truth in love. Because we are members of the body of Christ, we've put away falsehood and we strive to speak the truth. Our walk in love as Christ has loved us is expressed in the words that we say. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth of who we are in Jesus Christ through faith alone, in Christ alone. Father, we praise you that we are clothed in Christ's righteousness, that our sins have been nailed to the cross, they have been forgiven. Now, when you look at us, you see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are your children. And it's our prayer, Lord, that you will help us to live each and every day as your children, as we strive to put away the falsehood that is so tempting, and to speak the truth in love, reflecting the love that Christ has given to us in saving us from our sin. Lord, hear our prayer, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.